You are listening to the weekly message from Woodbridge Community Church in Irvine. Our vision as a church is to help all people meet, know, and follow Jesus. Today's message, titled The Gospel and New Age Spiritualism, is the sixth message in the series, What's the Difference? Is based on Galatians chapter 5 and is taught by Pastor Frank Winans. For more information, visit woodbridgecommunitychurch.org.
Good morning. Would you all stand with me as we read the Word of God this morning? And we're going to have fun this morning. I warn you right now, just fasten your seatbelts because we're going to go on a ride today. And it's going to be cool. All right. We're going to read from Galatians chapter 5. We've been doing this series called What's the Difference? And in it, we've been going through Galatians. And Galatians 5 is great. And it starts with this. Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 through 25. For if you were called to freedom, brethren, you were called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desires against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you're led by the Spirit, you are not under law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strifes, jealousies, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things of like these, for which I forewarned you, just as I forewarn you now, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus has crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, Paul says, then let us walk by the Spirit. Father, we come before you this morning in the name of your Son, Jesus. We've left again our homes to come to this house, to this place of meeting, this gathering of believers, this gathering of seekers. Lord, we pray that you would just walk amongst us this morning in a very special way. Jesus, would you send your Spirit upon us that we might understand the things that's been freely given to us by you. We are here to learn. Teach us, O great teacher. And Lord, I pray that you would just encourage us all this morning and pierce our hearts in a very special way. This we ask in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Y'all may be seated. A quiz this morning. I've kind of missed teaching at Biola, so I thought it'd be cool to give you a quiz. Anyone know what this is? It's a newspaper. What is the purpose of a newspaper? To bring news, all right? Newspaper is designed to bring news. We have been studying the gospel. The gospel means good news, okay? The gospel of Jesus, the New Testament gospel of Jesus, is good news. And we've been talking about what is that good news. We've been doing a series called What's the Difference Between the New Testament Gospel, the New Testament Good News of Jesus, and we're comparing this to different religious thoughts, different religions. And so here we find ourselves today going to be doing this again. But before we do, let me share with you what the gospel is in a nutshell again. And we've been using this text, and I pray that we use it so much that it's just stirred into your mind. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Verses 17 through 21, the Apostle Paul writes the most beautiful words. And he says this, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry," Paul says, "of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them." I love that. "And he has committed to us," Paul says, "the message of reconciliation." That's the good news. I've got the good news, a message of reconciliation. "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God was making his appeal through us." Paul says, "We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God." In the New Testament gospel, you have been reconciled to God. God, creator, you created separation. The New Testament gospel is this, though you are separated from God. Have you ever figured out something's wrong with you? You ever looked in the mirror and go, "What's my problem?" Your problem is that you're separated from God. Your emptiness, your loneliness, your shame, your guilt, your fear of death is because you are separated from your creator. And God has bridged that separation by Christ coming to earth and dying for your sins so that you don't have to. He paid your debt. He who knew no sin became sin, your sin, so that you might become the righteousness of God. The good news of Jesus is this. All religions basically are through moral effort and hard work. You're trying to work your way up to God. Okay? All religions are basically of this. The good news of the gospel is God in his love and mercy and grace has worked his way down to you and met you because he loves you and he wants to be reconciled to you. Okay? And in this is this new life that we have. Does that sound like good news? Is that good news? Your sins will never be counted against you. Does any of you want your sins counted against you when you die? You don't want it before a holy God. That's the good news. It's the good news of the gospel. Now, the Apostle Paul, we at this church, our job is to help people meet, know, and follow Jesus. The Apostle Paul, 2,000 years ago, his job was to go around the Roman world and help people meet, know, and follow Jesus. And he was going throughout the Roman world telling the good news of the gospel, which I just explained to you. And Paul, he went to this region called Galatia, and he preached the good news of the gospel. And right behind him, there was a group of people that started messing with the message of Jesus. And they started saying, "Yeah, that Jesus did die on the cross, but he didn't pay for all your sins, and you still got to do some things in order to be forgiven. And it's Jesus plus some religious activity. It's Jesus plus you need to do this." And the Apostle Paul writes back in the book of Galatians, and I really hope you read the book. It's a heated book. The apostle has probably got veins sticking out of his neck as he wrote it. It's an angry letter. And he basically says, don't listen to him. It's Jesus plus nothing. If we have to add something to what Jesus did for us, we take away, we subtract of what Jesus did for us on the cross. So in the book of Galatians, the Apostle Paul starts writing his defense of this gospel I gave to you is the same gospel that Peter and James and John is preaching, the apostles that walked with Jesus. He goes, don't listen to these people. My gospel's legit. And he starts writing a beautiful letter. Now, in the fifth chapter, the Apostle Paul starts answering the question of what does New Testament spirituality look like now? Which is a great question, especially in the context and the time in which Paul wrote that. Imagine, the Apostle Paul's a Pharisee. His spirituality was wrapped around the temple and animal sacrifices. How many steps I have to walk, I have to obey all the laws of Moses. And now Jesus has come. Sin has been forgiven. The temple is irrelevant. So what does spirituality look like now? That's a good question. We'll answer that question today, but before we do, I want to tell you a story. Back in the 90s, I had a car I put up for sale, and I had this lady come to my house, and she's looking at buying our car. And as we began talking to this lady, I told her I was a pastor. When I told her I was a pastor, I got a dirty look. I'm used to it, okay? She kind of gave me a dirty look, and she's like, oh. She says, well, you know, I'm a spiritual person too. Okay. We began talking. Actually, she began talking. I couldn't get a word in. And she started telling me that she's seeking the divine conscience within her. And that, as we began talking, she started telling me that I had a good energy about me. And I had a good aura about me. And I'm like, I noticed she's got a little crystal dangling from her, rearview mirror. And she starts talking about, she didn't buy my car, but she totally left me confused. She is what we call today a New Age person. She's a parson of the New Age movement. You ever met these people? You ever talked to these people? Anyone? She's a New Age individual. This is kind of popular, by the way, in our society in which we're living in. New Age spiritualism, as a matter of fact, is huge in America. It's been made popular by people like Shirley MacLaine in her book, I believe it's called Dancing with Light was one, and Out on a Limb by another. You guys heard of Shirley MacLaine, right? Modern day books that are out right now is A New Earth, Awakening to Your Life's Purpose by Eckhart Tolle, and The Secret by Rhonda Byrne. And The Secret, by the way, was made popular by this young lady, Oprah Winfrey. So as soon as Oprah comes up and she starts talking about The Secret, guess what happened to The Secret? Number one bestseller in New York Times, right? Now, obviously, the most famous book in this area of the New Age is the book called, starts with a D, Dianetics, written by L. Ron Hubbard. Which, by the way, this is the belief system of Scientology. Scientology was founded by L. Ron Hubbard in 1953. Ron Hubbard was a science fiction writer before he started Scientology. And by the way, the most famous Scientologist of today is Tom Cruise, right? But we could also add to this list John Travolta, Kelly Preston, Christie Alley, right? Let me give you the bottom line of the teachings of Scientology. You ready? You are a god, but you've just forgotten that you are. Let me say that again. You are a god, but you've just forgotten that you are. What L. Ron Hubbard taught is that all of us are infinite and eternal. There is premortal existence. And before the world was created, we were all called thetans. T-H-E-T-A-N-S. We were infinite and eternal, but we were bored. And so we created M-E-S-T, matter, energy, space, and time. We were outside of this, but we created and we began to play with it. And in the process of playing with it, we became part of it and thus forgot who we are, immortal, godlike. And now we think that we're just flesh, right? Trapped in the context of matter, energy, space, and time. So here's what Scientology does for you. You go in there and they hook you up to an E-meter and they begin It's like a counseling session. They begin trying to talk to you, what's going on in your life, this and that and the other. And the process of this is they're trying to remove the engrams from you, which are all these negative thoughts and things that are keeping you as a barrier between you and your true identity as a deity, right? And the goal is that if you go through this auditing enough, by the way, it's very expensive, your goal is to go clear. And once you've gone clear, you realize who you are, that you're back to being a thetan. And from there, you can go beyond going clear, where you begin to manipulate matter, energy, space, and time to get what you want. How you doing? Okay? That's Scientology. Does the Scientology commercial we just showed you make a little bit more sense? That's what they were trying to tell you in that commercial. Think about it, right? To expand beyond yourself, you're more than who you are. This is what they teach. Scientology is ultimately that you are a god that's just forgotten that you are. How you doing? You okay? Oprah Winfrey made the book The Secret popular by bringing the author on her show. And instantly the book became a New York Times bestseller. And this book teaches the law of attraction. The law of attraction. Which is, if you think about it and meditate on it and imagine it enough, you can have it or achieve it. For example, let's say that you want a brand new car. You want one of these new Corvettes that just came out. I do. So what you do is you sit on your sofa and you begin to meditate on this car. You begin to picture yourself holding the steering wheel, walking around the car. Maybe you're sitting in it and you're shifting the knobs. You're driving the car. And then you picture yourself stopping and putting down the top and starting it up again and taking it for a drive. And the more that you meditate on this, the more that you imagine this, that the energies of nature will be attracted. It's the law of attraction. And you will attract this vehicle to you. It's the law of attraction. Okay? By the way, you can do this with a job sale or that job you want. Or this is where it gets freaky. They tell you you can do this to attract the person that you want to date or marry. Would you be freaked out to think that somebody did this with you? It's the law of attraction. Oprah loves this stuff, talks about it all the time. She thinks this is the best thing since sliced bread. How you doing? You guys okay? What's the difference between New Age spirituality and the New Testament gospel of Jesus? What is the difference between New Age spirituality and New Testament spirituality? Can you see just by hearing this, there might be a few differences? Do you think there might be a few? People, just to start off, I got to tell you, as I was studying this week, I feel like I need to take a bath, man. Christianity is a historical faith. Christianity is a faith that goes back to our beginnings. When you read Genesis, in the beginning, creation. Christianity is a historical faith, and it is historically accurate, it's archaeologically accurate, it's geographically accurate. Come with me to Israel, you'll be blown away. It's prophetically unbelievable. The Bible says this happened, 200 years later it happened, 300 years later, 400 years later it happened, hundreds of these happening. God says, I'll show you, I'll prove to you who I am, God. I'll declare what's going to happen before it happens. And when it happens, you'll remember that I'm God. God proves himself. It's I call it a very intelligent faith. It's a very cognitive faith. The lady that I talked to, who was the authority of her belief system? She was. It's like you're trying to grab a fish that you just caught. It just slips right out of your hands when you talk to these people. Because there is no real, it's just very subjective. Very subjective. All right, now in your folder, if you would like to do this, you can take notes. Would you like to take a few notes? Here's the differences between New Age spiritualism and the New Testament gospel. Number one, in New Age theology, you are God. In New Age theology, you are God. It is the spiritual authority of self. Can you picture Shirley MacLaine meditating with a guru on Malibu Beach, screaming at the top of her lungs during a sunset, "I am God! I am God!" She's trying to understand, right? She's screaming, she's God. Can you picture this? Okay? In New Testament theology, in the theology of the New Testament gospel, God is God. Here's the good news of the Bible. There is a God and you are not He. There is a Creator and you and I are the created. You and I are the created. Can you imagine Shirley MacLaine sitting on a beach? I am God. Imagine what that must sound like to the ears of the Almighty. Her voice must sound like a squeaky mouse, right? I am God. Can you imagine the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the creator of the heavens and earth, looking down at this? What must be going through his mind? Hey, Gabriel, Michael, get a load of this. Look at this. In the New Testament theology, God is God, and you're not. These are big differences, people. These are big differences. In New Age spirituality, it's all about you. It's all about you. It is me-centric. Me, 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 me. In New Age spirituality, it's all about you. You are the center of the universe. You are trying to meditate to higher states of deified consciousness. You are meditating to get everything in the universe to center around you and what you want. In New Testament spirituality, it's all about who? Give you a hint. His wrists were right here and here, feet here, nails through them. See, Jesus loves you and Jesus serves you, but here's a news flash. It's not about you. Life is not about you. It's about Him. Let that sink in. Let it sink in. The Apostle Paul, as he's writing the book of Galatians, as he's ending the second chapter, he says these beautiful words. The Apostle Paul, the great Pharisee, says, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who lives, but Christ lives in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me. We talked about that last Sunday. He loved me and gave himself for me. In New Testament spirituality, we are wrapped up in who Christ is. Our identity is transformed within the cross and the person that died on the cross for us. It's Christ-centric. It's not you-centric. New Testament spirituality is about you being reconciled. Write this down. Reconciled to God and walking with Him in a spiritual relationship. This is New Testament spirituality. It's all about you being reconciled back to your Creator. And you now walking with Him. See, Jesus said this. Here's New Testament spirituality. He's with another Pharisee, Nicodemus, and he says, Nicky, unless you're born again, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. Unless you're born of water and spirit, you will not be born again. You will not inherit the kingdom of God. Jesus was speaking that you, my friends, are a very complex Trinity. You are body, soul, and spirit, okay? And your spirit is separated from God, your eternal spirit. You guys, everybody's going to live somewhere for eternity. Your spirit is. And Jesus says, unless you are born again or born from above or born anew, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. Jesus is speaking about your spirit being united with the Holy Spirit. God's a trinity as you are. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Bible teaches that the day that Jesus died on the cross and washed us from our sins at that moment, the Holy Spirit, Jesus says he's with you but will be in you. At the moment of salvation, after hearing the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, Ephesians 1:13, you are sealed in the Holy Spirit of promise. God comes and dwells inside of you. How's that for spirituality? Not that you're a God, but God, Spirit, comes and dwells in you. Let that sink in. God dwells in. If you today are a Christian who's accepted what Jesus has done on the cross, and you've been reconciled to God the Father, God's Holy Spirit came inside of you when you were 2 years old, 4 years old, 20 years old, whenever you received Christ, God's Spirit came and dwelled inside of you, and he does to this day. Now, the Apostle Paul, what does New Testament spirituality look like? Now that Jesus has come and the cross, what does it look like now? And he says, it's beautiful, man. It's not this religious works. It's God's come and dwelled inside of you, and you've been reconciled to God. And you now have, now walk in this new relationship with God. Walk in the Spirit. If you walk in the Spirit, you won't carry out the desires of the flesh. Walk. It's a different spirituality. God coming inside of you. How we doing? You okay? This is beautiful. Is that good news? It's great news. It's New Testament spirituality. In New Age theology, you have to work your way to remember that you're a God. And then once you figure that out and go clear, at least in Scientology, then you get to work to try to figure out how to manipulate the forces of the universe to get what you want. Okay? The New Testament gospel, God comes and he does all the work. He's reconciled you. And now you are just walk. The Bible says you are indwelt with the Holy Spirit. Now be filled with the Spirit. Walk in the power of the Lord, in the newness of life. You are a new creation. Now check this out. In New Age spirituality, they do something called meditation. Write this down. In New Age spirituality, they meditate for the purpose. Why? For the purpose of attaining higher states of deified consciousness, and they meditate to manipulate the forces in the universe to get what they want. Does the Bible talk at all about us meditating? How many people in here says yes? How many people in here say no? How many people in here say, I'm not putting my hand up, it could be a trick question? When you think of the lotus, when you think of meditating, don't you think on the lotus position? Could you shoot this up? Right? You empty yourself, you empty your mind, you empty your thoughts. When you talk to a New Age person, they say that they actually try to disembody themselves from their body, and they're attaining their higher states of and they look down upon themselves. Can I tell you this? This stuff is in the book of Genesis, and it's called demonology. It's called witchcraft and sorcery. Trying to get, casting spells to get what I want. It's repackaged. It's demonic, FYI. At least that's what New Testament theology would say. The Bible speaks of meditation. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. Psalm 1:1-2, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but he delights in the law of the Lord. And in his law he what? He what? Meditates. He meditates. When the Bible uses the word meditation, it's a Hebrew word, means haggah, and it's like this. It's related to the sound of a dove cooing. Have you ever heard a dove coo? Brr, brr. It's biblical meditation deals with sound. In New Age meditation, you empty your mind. In biblical meditation, you fill your mind with what? The Word of God. And you meditate on His Word. You speak on it. Have you ever heard someone, like, you ever listen to somebody and they're like talking all kinds of themselves? I'm saying something. You know, and you kind of have that person's talking to himself. They're just, my wife says I do this sometimes. Biblical meditation is you just talk, you've got a piece of scripture and you begin meditating on it, so much so that your lips are moving. You're thinking about it. It's deep within you're studying, you're centering yourself around the Word of God. And by the way, by doing that, you are filling yourself with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit wrote the Word of God. Men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. Great passages I'd love to share with you just real quick. In Ephesians 1, 18 and 19, the Apostle Paul says, the church at Ephesus, he talks about, don't get drunk with wine, but be filled. And this word means controlled. So the Spirit of God dwells within you. You've got choices. You can walk in the flesh and quench the Holy Spirit. You can walk and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And he says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now listen to this. Do not get drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. How? Speaking in one another with psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit. Singing and making music from your heart to God. Now, listen to that verse, and I'm going to give you another one. You ready? Paul writes this in Colossians, another church in Colossae, right? He says, let the word of Christ, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. The Apostle Paul says, be filled with the Spirit, and he speaks about music, but then over here he says, add the Word of God to that list. Let the Word of Christ richly dwell within you. When you let the Word of Christ dwell in you, it's a part of you walking in the Holy Spirit. There are a lot of aspects to New Age spirituality. And there's a lot of similarities between New Age spirituality and New Age spiritualism. New Testament spirituality, New Age spiritualism. There's some similarities. One of them is meditation. But we meditate with our minds filled with the Word. They empty their minds. The goal is totally different. There's something else that is very similar between New Age spiritualism and New Testament Christianity, and it's this: music. Did you know that New Age spiritualism actually created its own genre of music? 94.7 The Wave used to be known totally as a New Age station. And when you listen to New Age music, anyone listen to it? It has lots of music. It has sounds of birds and oceans and nature. That's never any words in it. It's all musical, very mystical. And the purpose in New Age music is to help you meditate. So you turn on New Age music and you meditate. And you empty yourself, you empty your mind of thoughts. And then as you're meditating, you're trying to reconnect with your deified state and different states of your deified consciousness. Or you're trying to meditate on the laws of attraction and you want to get this new car or meditate or do this. It's okay? Does the Bible teach it all about music? Does the Bible... Do you know what they're doing in heaven right now? What does that say? Book of Revelation. And they sang, they who, the angels in heaven, angelic being and hosts, and they sang, they sing in heaven. And they sang a new song saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals because you were slain. And with your blood, you purchased for God. Guess who they're singing about? Jesus. They're not singing about them being gods. The one who did sing about him being a god got kicked out. Satan. What are they doing in heaven right now, people? They're singing. In the Old Testament, it's all about, you know, that one of the 12 tribes of Israel, their whole job was to do the worship in the temple, in the tabernacle. They're called the Levites. And these people would have, they would say, play skillfully unto the Lord. And the Bible says that at the temple or the tabernacle, the Levites are supposed to sing praise and worship how long? 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. If you were some traveler coming from Tarshish or wherever, and you were coming up to Jerusalem, you'd enter the city, you'd be hearing singing in the city all the time. The Bible teaches that music, worship music, is spiritual. It says when King David would play worship music, the evil spirit inside of Saul would leave him. In the Psalms, it says the Lord inhabits the praises of his people. God dwells within the praises of his people. And we read here in the New Testament, do not get drunk with wine, be filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit. There's something spiritual about music. Have you ever figured this out? People, I do, man, I love listening to, sometimes I can have just a spirit in me, or I'm have anxiety, and I'll listen to a worship song, and all of a sudden, man, I'm like refocused, reconnected. My spirit connects with worship music. Does that ever happen to you? That's a part of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Something inside of us connects when we sing praise to the Lord. The Word of God, worship and song, it's a part of New Age, or New Testament spirituality. Did you know that? Write this down. Worship in song is spiritual. The New Age movement just stole that from the Bible, man. Worship in song is spiritual. And I like this one. I came up with this one myself, and I think it's good. You ready? Praise brings an awareness of his presence and his power. Praise brings an awareness of his presence and power. Man, you read in Acts 4, it says they were praising God and the Holy Spirit came on them. The power of the Holy Spirit filled them. You know, Jesus, when he left the upper room and he went from the upper room after washing the disciples' feet out to the Garden of Gethsemane, it says that he led his disciples in singing through the streets of Jerusalem. I'd love to know what song he sang, right? New Testament spirituality deals with signs and wonders. God's at work. God is moving. Did you know that right now in the Muslim world, God is giving visions to Muslim people? I mean, God is at work outside. He, matter, energy, space, and time, he made it. God made it. And it wasn't a thetan. You didn't make it. Got bad news for you today. Tom Cruise is wrong. And I bet, dude, if you went out to lunch with that guy, you'd leave going, I'm really confused. He's deceived. God is at work. He is wanting to be reconciled to his creation, and he does it through Jesus. How's that? You know what? There's a theology to why, and I'm going to ask the worship team to come up here. There's a theology to why we, at the end of the service, are going to be leading in worship, and we're inviting people to come forward to receive prayer. There's a theology to worship. And so, if you'll notice, since we did that series in Ghost Stories, what we've been doing is we've been leading in worship, and we're inviting people to come forward. Hey, if you've got a tough week ahead of you, if you are filled with anxiety and fear, if you need God to in your life, right? Maybe you have financial needs, or physical needs, or spiritual needs, emotional needs, and you're going, man, I'm a mess. I need the power of God. Hey, come on up here. We'd be happy to pray with you. Guess why we're doing this during to praise? Because it's theologically right. The Lord inhabits the praises of his people. It's interesting. I remember, I tried to understand, well, what is the gift of healing? You know, And I heard this theologian say, well, if the gift of healing is that a person has the gift of healing, can heal at any time, at anywhere, at any place, under any circumstance, then even Jesus didn't have the gift of healing because even Jesus couldn't do it in that setting. There's an atmosphere in which God chooses to move. It's always within an atmosphere of faith, right? That's why Jesus didn't do much in Nazareth. Worship is spiritual. I pray that every Sunday that you guys leave here, you can say, man, I got something from the Word of God, but I pray that your spirits would just be blessed as we sing songs, spiritual songs in our hearts to God. And so we've restructured this service, and this is all me, man. I'm leading this going, this is good theology. Every Sunday after the service, let's sing songs of praise and invite anyone that needs prayer. The Bible says, go and seek out the leaders of the church and pray for, have them pray for you. It's theological. It's in the book of James, chapter 5. But why music, Pastor Frank? Because there's a spirituality in music. Do you understand? I want to ask for the pastors to come forward. I want to ask for Mike and Pat to come up here. I want to ask for Pastor Vince and his wife to come up here. I want to ask, Brother Mike, you come up here. He's running our men's ministry. He's a godly man, good man. I'll bring him up, right? Pastor Graham, where are you guys at? Come over here. Now, here's the deal. We're just going to sing praise because it's spiritual. Now, if you in here today need God to move in your life and you need people to pray for you, then the Bible says to come up to the leaders of the church. And these people will lay hands on you and pray for you. We've seen God do miracles in this church outside of matter, energy, space, and time. And that's a part of New Testament spirituality. Have you heard the rumor? He walks on water. Have you heard the rumor? He came up out of the grave. It's funny, when you read Galatians chapter 3, Paul says, did the Holy Spirit and the workings of miracles happen to you at the church of Galatia by the law or by the Holy Spirit? When Paul would go and preach, God was doing miracles. He still is. Remember that. Father in heaven, as we come before you this Sunday morning, we come to learn. We want to understand. Jesus, you're the one that said to worship in spirit and in truth. We bring our minds, that's truth, and we bring our hearts, spirit. You are God. Jesus, you're the one that said, let the Holy Spirit come upon you, then you will be my witnesses. Scripture says that we're indwelt with the Holy Spirit, but we should be filled with power from the Holy Spirit. Lord, if there's anybody in here today that just needs a fresh filling of your Spirit, they need power in their life, let them come down and receive prayer. Lord, if there's anyone in this room that you are waiting to do a work in their lives, and you're just waiting for them to be obedient and to come down and ask for the prayers of the leadership, then bring them down, Jesus. Lord, if there are people in here that are, their lives are just wrapped in fear, Christians wrapped in fear, let them come down and, God, you remove that fear by the power of your Holy Spirit. You are sovereign God. We're not. But we love you and we know you and we want to walk in fellowship with you. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on this place. In Jesus' name. Do I hear an amen? Let's worship the Lord. Almighty, you want to maybe lift your hands and just a sense of just receiving the Spirit of God in your life? Draw into the Lord. Draw into the Lord.
The living God, we only want to hear. want to know you more and more. We're hanging on every
to hear your voice. We're hanging on every
Lord Jesus, we fix our eyes on you this morning. You're the author and the perfecter of our faith. You are the author and perfecter of our spirituality. We have been crucified, and it is no longer we who live, but Christ that lives in us. Lord, the life that we now live in the flesh, may we all in here live by faith. Pray for those, God, whose faith is hurting today. We pray, Lord God, that you would just fill them. God, would you nudge people, remind them that you are real and you are here, that you hold them in the palm of your hand, that you're the Almighty God. Thank you, Lord, that our sins will never be counted against us because of the cross. Great news. We've been reconciled to God. Great news. The Spirit of the Lord dwells within inside of us. Great news. Jesus, you go to prepare a place for us when we die. Great news. Lord, you are a shepherd that always watches over his sheep. That's great news. You are intimately acquainted with all of our ways. And you love us. Great news. Lord, may our spirits just be drawn to you this morning. May we have a smile on our face that goes beyond our circumstances. May we meditate in truth. And as we meditate on the truth of God, that we are children of God, may we leave and just go, man, this is awesome. Nothing can separate us from your love. And greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. Thank you, Lord, you've not left us as an orphan, but you've sent your Holy Spirit into our lives. What a mystical union. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Lord, I pray for Woodbridge Community Church. Fill them with your Holy Spirit today. May your face shine on them, God. May you be gracious unto them, God. May you grant unto them what this world will never give. Would you give us all in here shalom, peace, a peace that would surpass all understanding, that would guard our hearts and guard our minds in Christ Jesus. Fill your people today with knowledge of truth and love. This we pray for your glory in your most holy name. And all those who love God back would say what?
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to Woodbridge Community Church's weekly podcast. If you would like more information about our current series or to hear past messages, please visit woodbridgecommunitychurch.org. There you can learn about how we can help you meet, know, and follow Jesus.